From Boston University, this is WBUR, Boston's NPR news station, and on the web at WBUR.org.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now.
We will never have a repeat of the Walter Reed scandal, and we owe our veterans every health care and every educational benefit that they have earned.
There's no responsibility that I take more seriously, because America's commitment to our servicemen begins at enlistment, and it must never end.
The two presidential candidates speaking recently about veterans. Well, our next guests wonder if promises made to veterans can be kept regardless of who wins the presidential election. Army Sergeant Juan Jimenez was struck by two roadside bombs in Iraq. He came home with two Purple Hearts, shrapnel lodged in his arms, and various ailments. Nearly 4 years later, he's still fighting for disability benefits, and he's part of a so far unsuccessful class action lawsuit against the Department of Veterans Affairs. We want to take a look at the status of veterans' benefits, and we begin with Sergeant Jimenez from his home in Yucaipa, California. Sergeant, welcome.
Hi, how are you, Robin?
I'm just fine, and we want to find out how you are, but first I also want to introduce journalist Joshua Kors. His story about Sergeant Jimenez appears in the new issue of The Nation, and he joins us to continue the conversation we've been having, Joshua, about veterans' benefits. Welcome back.
Good to be with you, Robin.
And Sergeant Jimenez, let's start with you. First of all, tell us, what injuries did you sustain in Iraq? What happened to you? And then what happened when you went to get benefits?
I was given my gunner time to rest, so I got up in a gunner's hatch, and while we was riding down the street to secure a pipeline that was destroyed, I struck an IED, and I had shrapnel to the right arm, and I was evacuated out.
And what happened the second time you were struck?
The second time, we actually were driving through Sadr City, and then we started receiving mortar fire. We hit a couple more IEDs, and I was struck in the face.
This was in 2005. What were the results of these incidents? What were some of the effects you were feeling?
The first one, I was knocked unconscious, and soon after that, I started experiencing headaches. The second one also, I was still having headaches. So then I returned home, and I applied for benefits. Was granted benefits for PTSD, but when I put in for a traumatic brain injury and for a seizure disorder, I was denied.
We understand you were having seizures, you were having memory loss, you had persistent ringing in your ears, acid reflux disease. Now, how did that impact you?
Basically, I get stomach aches every single night. I don't know if it was from drinking the water or eating the food there.
So you have trouble eating, and from the IEDs that blew up on you, you had scrap metal in your face. So why were you denied benefits? What did they say?
When I went in for the traumatic brain injury, they actually conducted a couple tests on me, and they determined that I had mild traumatic brain injury. But then when the case went to the rating board, I received a letter back stating that I do have mild traumatic brain injury, but it was due to caffeine addiction and a car accident I had 21 years ago.
Caffeine addiction. Were you drinking a lot of caffeine?
The Red Bulls.
Drinking Red Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And when you'd had the car accident 21 years earlier, did you think you had a head injury from that accident?
No, it wasn't that bad. I was in the hospital maybe an hour.
And had any sign of a brain injury shown up when you had a medical exam when you enlisted, when you went into the military?
Negative.
So, Josh, we have Sergeant Jimenez being denied benefits after a raider. Explain to us the process, because he, as he mentioned, someone had to rate him. Who is the raider?
Veterans come into the VA after being treated, and they go to a separate process where a rater decides just how disabled they are, everywhere from 0 to 100% disabled. The higher the rating, the higher the disability pay, and if they cross a certain threshold, they can secure VA medical care for the rest of their life. In Jimenez's case, the rater decided he did not have service-related seizures. She said there wasn't enough evidence that he had seizures at all, even though he had a seizure while he was at the VA and the doctor had been prescribing him epilepsy medication. You think that'd be proof enough, but for the raider, it wasn't. And Robin, we've spoken before about the different situations that veterans are facing when it comes to benefits. Jimenez's case really just continues along that line, and that's what led to the lawsuit in federal court in San Francisco.
And we should say, Sergeant Jimenez, this rater, R-A-T-E-R, you never spoke to this person. The military keeps them anonymous because they don't want them to be influenced by people like yourself. But you never had a chance to even speak to this person.
Negative, ma'am.
Joshua, tell us a little more about this. How veterans who've been injured and are going in to get claims, how do they approach this process? Because I understand they're bringing in paperwork and Purple Hearts and testimony from friends.
I don't think most Americans even realize that when soldiers return wounded from Iraq, before they can collect benefits for their wounds, they have to prove to the VA their wounds came from Iraq. As Jimenez has explained to me, he thought in his case, with the shrapnel that's still embedded in his skin, it would seem obvious that his wounds did come from his service in Iraq. But as his fight goes on 3 years to get benefits, it seems it's not that simple a proof.
Sergeant, when you discovered all this, when you realized how, I mean, did you know you had to bring Purple Hearts to get your benefits? And what was your thinking as it was revealed to you how hard it was to get benefits?
I keep paperwork on everything because I know everything always deals with a paper trail. That's why I have my own paperwork from the doctors in Iraq. And that's what I took to VA as proof that I was actually injured, is doctor statements. But still, you know, they still going against, you know, every documentation that I'm giving them.
Well, what's your thinking about that?
I think that someone needs to redo the system because, you know, they're turning their backs on a lot of us soldiers. You know, we go out and, you know, we do our job, no questions asked, and they turn their backs on us when we get home, and I think that's wrong.
Well, Sergeant Jimenez is part of a class action lawsuit filed by veterans groups against the Department of Veterans Affairs. The suit claims the VA is illegally denying or delaying claims for disability pay and mental health treatment. Now, the vets lost the suit. They're appealing. Joshua, you were there for the trial in April in San Francisco. Now, we remember some of the reporting about the culture in the VA that sort of underlies this story. Remind us of that. What was the VA's defense against these claims?
What made it so extraordinary is that for the first time, top officials from the VA went up on the stand under oath and began to discuss that culture. The testimony that really shocked those in the audience was Michael Walkoff, a deputy undersecretary, and he was hammered by the plaintiffs about a key VA statistic that it takes on average 6 months for the VA to handle a claim. But as Walkoff's testimony revealed, those are truly twisted figures. It really takes 6 months for that first step in the process. If a veteran appeals his case, as 32,000 veterans did last year, it takes an additional 3.5 years for their appeal to be handled. When it comes to VA statistics, if a veteran dies before his case is complete, that's considered a complete case. If a soldier kills himself, that resolves the issue.
Well, for the VA, anyway. And you write that it also adjusts their overall stats because the VA can then average those deaths in and get credit for cases they've closed. We're talking to journalist Joshua Kors and Sergeant Juan Jimenez about veterans' benefits. You're listening to Here and Now. Well, this trial and this story is playing out against a backdrop of news stories that we've spoken of on this program. And just to remind ourselves, a high-ranking VA official sent out an email about the high number of suicides among veterans, saying, should we address this or do some sort of release before someone stumbles on it? Daniel Zwirling of NPR reported about the colonel at the Evans Army Hospital who had a memo on his bulletin board warning doctors at Fort Carson not to take soldiers' descriptions of their ailments at face value. So there seemed to be a culture of not believing troops when they came back and spoke of disabilities.
And as the trial revealed, that culture is really grounded in the VA's regulations. Up on the screen, they put a page from the VA's manual for everyone in the courtroom to see. And in that manual, it advises VA doctors not to take veterans' descriptions of their ailments seriously, especially when it comes to PTSD. As the manual said, PTSD is relatively easy to fake.
Well, let's go back to the class action suit that Sergeant Jimenez, you were a part of. As we said, the judge ruled against you, but only because he said he didn't have the jurisdiction to call for a complete overhaul of the VA, which is what the lawsuit calls for. So what happens to you right now? Can you work? What are you doing? What's your life like?
My life has been a wreck. I have a lot of sleep problems, always guarded and watching my back, and a lot of anger issues as far as when I'm at work, and it makes me not want to be there. Like, I'm missing Iraq, and I was told from my counselor at the VA that that's basically PTSD working.
And it's been, what, 3 years?
3 years.
Yeah, since the onset of these. Joshua Kors, what do you think is going to happen now?
Well, I think the hope really is going to come from Congress. The VA committee on Capitol Hill is very aware that when veterans leave Iraq, they face a waiting list 650,000 veterans long. Representative John Hall, a Democrat from New York, has put forward a bill which would try to speed along the system, giving veterans with obvious wounds immediate access to care and benefits. Right now, every veteran, regardless of how obvious their wounds seem, have to go through the proof process of making sure their claim is not a fraudulent one. Jimenez, when it comes to medical care, really shows the split in the system. The VA doctors are not hesitant in the slightest to prescribe medications, but the VA benefit system is quite hesitant to write them a check.
Is there another disconnect here? Why isn't there a chain of reports that starts on the ground in Iraq, where the military doctors say, Sergeant Jimenez, jump in.
There is. When we return back, you go to the VA, you not only have your Purple Heart, you have your actual Purple Heart, you have the documentation showing your Purple Heart, you have the documentation showing how you received the Purple Heart, and then you have your line of duty documentation.
Where this becomes an absurdity, when the paperwork showing the wounds that were produced right there at the medical facilities in Iraq isn't enough to make the case, the VA often pushes the veterans to gather witnesses for their wounds, buddy statements they're called. Of course, if other folks who were there in Iraq were killed by the roadside bomb, now the veteran has no witnesses.
Well, we've been speaking with Sergeant Juan Jimenez, Iraq War veteran who also received two Purple Hearts, but is still fighting for benefits he feels he deserves. From the Department of Veterans Affairs, journalist Joshua Kors, his story about Sergeant Jimenez and the recent lawsuit Sergeant Jimenez and other veterans filed appears in the new issue of The Nation. Gentlemen, I hope we have you back to give us an update. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
Okay. Well, tomorrow on Here and Now, we're going to have an ode to Fellini's 8½, including a listen to the beautiful music from Nina Rota. That's tomorrow on Here and Now. And we'll be back in a minute, Here and Now.